Crazy.
All right. Are you recording?
I'm recording.
Perfect. Wow. Welcome to the first episode of a brand new podcast. This doesn't happen every day, folks. This is a big event that you're here for. This is episode one of Monster Crazy with your hosts Cameron and Kai. I'm Cameron.
And I'm Kai. This is like a Halley's Comet situation, but with monsters.
Exactly. This only happens once every 27 years. Which is a bit of a reference to what we'll be talking about today, which we won't get into yet. But Monster Crazy, exciting. I'm very excited for this. Me and Kai have been talking for a while about starting a podcast where we talk about monsters, because we both really like monsters a lot. And I figured we'd carve out this beginning part to kind of talk about what the podcast is about and what we'll be talking about. But I feel like it's very straightforward, and we maybe don't have to do very much of that.
Yeah, I mean, it's called Monster Crazy, and you guessed it, it's about monsters, and that's pretty much the entire concept. We're just going to hash out a monster each time.
We'll crazy about, for monsters.
Yeah, we're stir crazy.
Yeah, mon.
For monsters.
Stir crazy.
Pokemonster.
Yeah, this is a Pokemon-based podcast.
Marill, first up.
That's we'll do one episode of Pennywise, and then we'll do like 800 Pokemon episodes in a row.
Yeah, starting with Swablu.
Oh my god, I love Swablu. This is a monster podcast, and I may have just given away our first monster. It's not Swablu. It is the very scary yet oddly funny Pennywise the Dancing Clown, also known as It, the eponymous monster of Stephen King's 1986 novel It. I think it's 86. No, it's 1985.
I haven't read the book, but I've seen both iterations of the movie.
Yeah, I read the book a while ago, so I'm not super fresh on it, but I did enjoy the recent movies, and I watched the miniseries today, so that's the most fresh in my mind, is the Tim Curry Pennywise.
That's also the most fresh in my mind. I watched it a couple days ago.
Yeah. So I guess we'll get into it by just talking about who Pennywise is, which I feel like most people probably know, but if you somehow have never heard of Pennywise the Dancing Clown, he's a dancing clown. But that's not all he is. He lives in the sewers.
He lives in the sewers.
He eats children.
He lives in Derry, Maine, which is a fictional location that Stephen King uses a lot, that's based off of Bangor, Maine, which is a real place.
It is.
And where Stephen King lives or lived.
So Pennywise is not just a clown. He or she is, or
we'll get into that later too.
We will. It, I guess, is the name of the book. So It is a cosmic entity that it's the eater of worlds. I think you have, Kai, you probably have more written about the kind of cosmic lore of Pennywise than I do.
So in Stephen King lore, there's something called the Macroverse, which isn't like a physical space. Like, he's not really from outer space. He's from someplace beyond that, and it's intentionally vague. It's sort of just like, you know, a space where triangles can have four sides. And,
no.
You know, yeah, and a
how
circle
will I
could
know,
be a line.
How
and,
will I be able to play my PlayStation games with QuickTime events if I can't tell the difference between a triangle and a square?
In the Macroverse, there is no PlayStation.
No!
Yeah. No, it's true, but just honestly, if you're going to think about the Macroverse, if you're listening to this podcast, you probably have an idea like what the term Eldritch means or Lovecraftian, and it's Stephen King's idea of just like a primordial, strange, extra-dimensional space that has existed for forever where strange things are, and right. Pennywise the Dancing Clown is not really a clown, he's an entity. The reason it's called It is because he's really just an entity that in some obscure cataclysmic event landed in North America in an area that would eventually become Derry, Maine. So he's not really a clown. He's more of an abstraction that can take physical form.
Yeah, he landed on a meteor, right? I think a big meteor crashed down.
It was something like that. I when I was doing research, I couldn't find exactly how he got there, and I don't know if in the movies they didn't mention it.
I'm pretty sure it's a meteor in the book. If I'm wrong, you can kill me. Yeah, but he Pennywise, yeah, crash landed on Earth in North America in Maine, thousands and thousands of years ago, and throughout history, basically emerges every 27 years to feed and to cause some horrible tragedy in this town.
But actually, the reason he only emerges to feed. The reason that the horrible tragedy happens isn't because he needs to do it. It's that fear and anguish and all that seasons the meat for when he feeds.
Yeah. It's like beautiful salt, the best seasoning in the world.
He has a quote where he says, "You got to salt the meat."
It's true. You do got to salt the meat and nothing else.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah. Yeah, Pennywise, don't be seasoning his children.
There's a reason, you know, he's white.
Yeah.
Am I right, everybody?
White. Yeah. He's almost too white, terrifyingly so.
Yeah.
The thing that we haven't mentioned about Pennywise yet that relates to him salting his food with fear, that is probably one of the most important aspects of his character, is that he's a shapeshifter.
Yep.
And he can and will transform into whatever he thinks will inspire the greatest fear into his victim. So he takes on a variety of forms in all the different adaptations and, I guess, the original source material, too. And this actually, we were talking about this a little bit before we started recording. I think that me and Kai have differing opinions here, but I think that the forms that he takes on in the book and the miniseries are extremely cool, when especially he becomes the werewolf from the 50s movie I Was a Teenage Werewolf. He becomes the mummy, also from the movie The Mummy. He becomes the crawling eye from the movie The Crawling Eye. He becomes a giant bird that is described kind of like Rodan from the Godzilla movies and from the Rodan movie. And he also becomes the creature from the Black Lagoon. And that's an aspect of Pennywise that I really liked a lot. And that was one thing that kind of disappointed me from the more recent movies, is that Pennywise feels like an amalgamation of specifically movie monsters, and he feels very of his time, of the fear that was in the main character children's brains, because they're going to see these, like, in the book, the first half of the book is set in the 50s, and so when they encounter Pennywise, he's turning into all these 50s movie monsters. And the second portion of the book is set in the 80s. And there's even a part in the 80s portion where one person describes Pennywise as having transformed into Jaws, which I just think that's, like, super fun, especially with Pennywise as this, like, manifestation of fear and this culmination of all these monsters coming together. I think is such a fun aspect. And while I did think that the 2017 and was it 2019, the monsters are very scary and fun, I think they lose that aspect of feeling like all your favorite characters, like, coming together. You know what I mean?
To be honest, I actually hadn't considered the aspect that it was, you know, playing off of the fears that those kids would have had at the time. I just think that, like, and that is very fun. I think that just when I see Teenage Wolf, I have difficulty being, like, as viscerally, like, freaked out by it than something.
Oh, definitely. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just like, you know, it's like Werewolf in London. Werewolves in general, I think, have become kind of just, like, sort of, like, silly spooky.
Yeah.
Where I can't take it seriously as a scary thing. And I wasn't planning on watching the 1990 It with any intention of, like, getting scared by it. But I watched the 2017 and 2019 ones first. And I think that Pennywise was just so much more demonic
Oh, like, yeah.
That it just, it was a little bit of a letdown just seeing Tim Curry, like, doing, like,
doing 60, Tim Curry.
Yeah, doing, like, 60s and 50s stand-up, going, like, honk, honk, gonna get you, hey! And yeah. It was like, I don't know. It wasn't doing it for me the same way as just, like, that...
Yeah. That
fucking thousand eyes.
Yeah. I do love Bill Skarsgård's Pennywise. I think Tim Curry does a great job too. I think that is my main gripe with Skarsgård's Pennywise is that the clown form arguably, at least at first, is supposed to like lure children in. And like, kind of, that's supposed to be something that they would like. Like, you know, he lures Georgie into the sewer.
I
agree with you,
and also I don't think that's even arguable. It, like, it's stated that Pennywise, like, the reason Pennywise chooses to be a clown is because it's trying to lure children in a friendly, charming way. And Tim Curry does that aspect a lot better than the 2017 and 2019 ones because he looks like a demon the second you see him.
Yeah, Bill Skarsgård is instantly evil. Like, that no child on Earth would go up to that fucking sewer with that like giant headed evil creature. And that's like a similar thing to that is like, especially with Pennywise being like some kind of alien creature trying to like approximate a clown to like allure a child in. You know, Bill Skarsgård's Pennywise definitely hits that alien note a lot harder with his like really weird proportions and fucked up teeth and like
googly
weird
eye.
Googly eyes. But also he's like, it's the his color scheme is like too scary. Like,
yeah.
if he was trying to lure people in, it would be a lot more like the Tim Curry Pennywise, I feel like, where it's just the random bright colors all over him.
The Tim Curry Pennywise like looks clean. Like he looks like the Bill Skarsgård one, I don't know how to pronounce that. I don't have his name pulled up. How do you say it?
Skarsgård.
Oh yeah, Bill Skarsgård. He just like he looks like he's been living in a sewer.
Yeah, he looks dirty as fuck.
Yeah, and scary. Also, yeah. Oh man, I had a quick aside. Oh yeah, about his eyes. So in the 2017 and 2019 thing, on the note of him looking alien and like an alien trying to approximate what a clown might be, his eyes I think don't work in like I think they're vestigial the reason that I say that is when he peels back his face to reveal his deadlights, which is the deadlights are those three little lights in Pennywise's mouth, and in the Stephen King books they're like it's like what he is in a not metaphysical way. It's like his true form or whatever.
Yeah, he's like there. Yeah, it's like incomprehensible being of light, basically.
Totally. And this facade that it's wearing is not how it's maneuvering around the world. I mean, it's omnipotent a little bit. So like it's literally just wearing like a created flesh suit. So those eyes aren't seeing any more than like it.
Yeah,
it's like
like eye spots on a butterfly. Well, not really. I guess it's not.
Well, no, that's explained in in the seventh Dark Tower book by Stephen King, the main character encounters a creature called Dandelo that is confirmed by Stephen King to be a similar creature to Pennywise, in that it's a shape shifting creature being that feeds off of. Feeds off of emotion, and Pennywise's final, like true physical form is spider like. In the seventh Dark Tower book, the true form of this thing is like a beetle, and the way that Stephen King describes it is that as he's being held hostage by this thing, he's like looking at this man's face, and he's starting to realize that the eyes on it aren't really eyes, and he's kind of been having like some sort of hallucinatory effect played into his head, and they are more like spots on a butterfly or a beetle shell.
Yeah.
And I think that that's just such a cool, gross, weird detail.
Oh, it's so awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like if you were like, no, you were talking to somebody and you noticed they, you know what it's exactly like. Is it's like the fucking part in the SpongeBob movie where the old lady is selling them like cookies or something.
And
then it's like actually
it's a monster.
Yeah. It's like, it's so sick. It's
yeah,
so
it's,
awesome.
It's also, it's really scary. I mean,
it is really scary. Yeah. Yeah. And speaking of Pennywise's like final physical form, being spider-like, that also, that's another point for, to me, that's another point for the more recent remakes. I think that in that movie, in It Chapter 2, Pennywise turns into this like clown spider monstrosity, mm-hmm. that's like the upper body of a clown and the lower body of a spider, but the spider is still has like clown properties, like the legs have like those like clown like ruffs around them and stuff.
Yeah.
Like it looks like that's that to me, that's like perfect. I love that so much.
Yeah, it's awesome.
I love clowns and I love everything that clowns look like and are, and like applying that to another creature looks so silly in such a cool way that I just can't help but love that. Like,
it looks silly, but it also, it's very sinister. Like,
yeah,
it's not supposed to be there. Spider legs are supposed to be spider legs.
Yeah.
But yeah, in the 1990 It, I guess this is, there's spoilers. I guess we should have said there's spoilers for both the 1990 It and the 2017 and 2019 It and the book. But in the 1990 it turns into a spoiler. Just like practical effects,
yeah, like a stop motion
alien spider.
Yeah, it's a very generic alien spider.
Yeah, it could have been in anything from the 90s.
Yeah,
and it did not scratch the same. Like, I don't know, if you have this like horrible demon clown tormenting a town for thousands of years or whatever, its final form I think needs to be more. I don't know. Impressive than generic
think,
alien
I think
thing.
Truly the main thing with the 1990s it is that it is very like made for TV. Like they really can't do very much of anything that won't be censored, I think.
Sure.
And I think it probably, from what I've gathered, I think that people love that series, that miniseries, I think it has a lot of nostalgia for people because it's something that they could see when they were a kid and get terrified by and be like able to catch on TV, you know,
sure.
as opposed to like going to see an R-rated movie in the theater. So I understand like where, like I bet if I were like 10 years old and I watched that, it would probably like imprint on my brain forever. And it still kind of did, even though I never saw it as a kid. I like people in my class, I remember being in band class and my friend being like, have you heard of It? And me being like, what? What's that like? And they're like, you know, Pennywise, and explaining it was a clown that lived in a sewer and ate children. And I was like, oh man, I am never going to watch that ever
yeah.
in my life.
I had a friend read that book when I was like 9 or 10, who was also like 9 or 10. He probably shouldn't have been reading it, but
yeah.
He was also just telling me about a clown that lives in a sewer. And I was just like, who could come up with something yeah. so wicked?
Yeah. Well, for me, it's definitely like, it was like hearing like, yeah, it's about a clown that lives in a sewer. And I was like, I was thinking like, oh, that sounds dumb. That sounds stupid. And then you're like, and it eats children. And I was like, oh no.
Yeah. No, just a sad clown who lives in a sewer, but doesn't do anything evil.
Yeah. That's He's definitely what was in my brain when I first heard about it. Sounds like a boring book.
He's just like reaching in and squeezing poopies as they float by, and they go,
yeah, exactly.
You know,
yeah.
You smell my flower, and it's a pee stream.
Yeah.
No, yeah. I also on the topic of him specifically eating children, I thought we talked about this a little bit yesterday. The reason he does that is also interesting. Like he's like an omnipotent kind of demon thing. He could eat people, like adults, if he wanted to, and I'm sure at some point he does. But the reason he eats children is because fear seasons the meat, and children's fears are much easier for it to approximate. And it says in the book apparently that like adults' fears are too abstract and complicated to like really just like manifest. Mm-hmm. Whereas like you can just like look into the mind of a 5-year-old and be like, oh, it's lions.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I thought that was a cool element.
Oh, definitely. I think Stephen King, especially in his writing, is like really good at capturing what is so like terrifying about being afraid of something as a child. He has a passage that is, when I remembered it, I thought it was from it, but I think it's actually from Salem's Lot, but I could be wrong. But there's some passage about how, like children's fears are, there some fears that you have as a child are so, like, big and terrifying that you can't explain them or articulate them because they're literally too big to, like, fit out of your mouth. Like, it's a fear so giant and looming in your head that it's, like, stuck in there. And I think that totally captures, like, you know, you're just lying in bed as a kid and thinking, like, oh my God, there's a monster under my bed. And you don't even really know what that means fully.
Yeah.
Like, you can't explain why it's so scary to go in the basement or into the...
You can't even picture the monster. It's just, like, a very animal fear at the back of your head.
Yeah.
I get that still sometimes when I walk around in the woods at night. Which is why I do it, because it's sort of fun to freak yourself out.
Yeah, because you're a child.
I'm a big boy. Also, I'm changing the subject, not mm-hmm. because of my personal shame, but because we're on the topic of how he specifically eats children. Another fun fact is one of the names that Pennywise goes by is Bob Gray.
Mm-hmm.
And after some research, I found that there was a... In real life, a guy named Albert Fish, who was a cannibal who ate children, and he used the name Robert Gray I'm a murderer, so I need a fake name type of name.
Yeah,
but
that's
better than
the murderer.
Yeah,
or usually those. Yeah,
his nickname could be, my name is Albert Fish, and I'm a child cannibal.
Yeah, yummy that, children.
Yeah, but there's no way that was unintentional.
Yeah, definitely. And I think Pennywise also is, we were talking about this before, and I looked it up to make sure it's true. There had been a few occurrences of, like, the evil or creepy clown stock character or trope or whatever in media before it, but it was the big one that popularized it.
And
in the 70s, John Wayne Gacy made waves in the
John Wayne Gacy,
children community as Pogo the Clown.
Yeah, he was a clown who killed kids in real life.
Yeah. And that definitely, that I think started, it didn't start it because there still are other occurrences, but that that was an inspiration point for Stephen King, I believe, when he was writing it.
I actually think the clowns as a whole, as a theme with Pennywise is very interesting. Because, like, you know, if you or I now say clown, they are still kind of funny. But people agree across the world that they are kind of scary. They're creepy, and that just hasn't always been the case culturally. Like, that's a learned thing where, mm-hmm. you know, Ronald McDonald wouldn't be a successful mascot if at one point clowns weren't, you know, a thing of joy and laughter for the children. But because of, I think, probably John Wayne Gacy primarily, but also there were mm-hmm. other, I know that the Joker, well, I think the Joker, probably there's no Joker if there's no Pennywise.
Well, no, the other way around, dude. The Joker is from the 40s.
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, the Joker was one of Batman's, like, first villains or whatever. He's been,
okay,
I mean, he hasn't been, like scary and evil for that long, but he was a criminal clown.
There's no Heath Ledger Joker, then.
No, there's no, well, that's maybe. Bill Skarsgård actually did say that he based his performance as Pennywise off of Heath Ledger, which I feel like is a cop-out. Come on, that's too easy. Pick something. Don't pick the obvious cool clown guy.
Yeah. Also, they're very different kinds of guys.
Yeah.
One of them's a monster and one of them's a guy.
Yeah. You mean an agent of chaos.
I guess they're both. Well, actually, I think they're both agents of chaos. In a more specific way, in the Stephen King lore, all of Stephen King lore sort of is based around the idea of the beams and mm-hmm. the Dark Tower and the Guardians. And what that is the Dark... I'm going to do it really quick. The Dark Tower mm-hmm. is essentially... Beams are like structural supports that hold up all realities or something in a very Marvel way. The Dark Tower is sort of the crux of all of them. And in Stephen King's books, oftentimes there are agents that are actively... I mean, it's just... It's law versus chaos. There are agents that are trying to uphold the beam so that universes stay universes. And then there are agents like Pennywise or the Crimson King that are actively working to shatter those beams and have everything fall into a primordial chaos. So it is kind of a chaos versus law thing like Batman and the Joker, I guess.
Yeah. It is exactly like and Batman is the children.
Yeah, Batman is the losers club.
Yeah. Couldn't they pick a better name?
Yeah, they should have.
Come on,
the winners
guys.
Club.
Stand up for yourself. Yeah. What about Players Club?
Yeah.
$1 million.
The Clubbers Club.
What about that? Yeah. Yeah.
Or just
I also when we were talking about Pennywise being a clown as like a specifically as something that children think is creepy. That reminded me, I wanted to talk about Stephen King's inspiration for Pennywise, for the character Pennywise, which I thought was really cool. He said in an interview that he was like walking over a wooden bridge and hearing his footsteps like echo to the river below. And he was like, man, wouldn't it be terrifying if there was a troll under this bridge? And that was essentially the inkling of the book It, where originally Pennywise was a troll, like a three Billy Goats Gruff style troll, but instead of living under a bridge, he lived in the sewers, and King eventually decided that
to make him way cooler.
Would be a lot more scared of a clown than a troll, which is probably true, but I'd be lying if I said I didn't want to read the troll version of
The troll version would be awesome, but if it was just like, I think trolls are kind of just like dumb beasts a lot of the times. And this kind of like trickster god thing that's just pure evil is a much cooler.
And I also I love clowns. Every bad guy should be a clown, basically.
Yeah.
And an alien that just looks like a clown but isn't a clown, that's probably the coolest thing in the world. And if you guys who are listening haven't seen the movie Killer Clowns from Outer Space, you should watch that movie if you like evil alien clowns, because that's exactly what that is.
I haven't seen that. Are they approximating clowns, or are they just literally clowns?
There's lines in the movie where they're like, they ask like, so why do you think they look like clowns? And then one guy is like, maybe like it's just a coincidence and they just look like they just look like clowns. And then someone else is like, maybe they like visited our culture thousands of years ago and our idea of clowns came from them.
That's awesome.
It's one of the best movies ever made. I love it so much. I'm sure we'll talk about the killer clowns at some point,
but we digress.
I hate digressing.
Back to Derry, Maine.
Yes.
Another fun fact that you might not know, I think everyone's probably familiar with Pennywise, but at the end of the series, the Losers Club performs the ritual of Chud on him and rips out his heart and kills him, and he's dead, and there's no more Pennywise. And also in the book, it's revealed that he's a she, and they find a bunch of eggs. They crush all the eggs. No more Pennywises anymore. They've successfully vanquished this horrible beast for good, or so you think. Because in the book Tommyknockers by Stephen King, which canonically takes place after the events of the second installment of It, the main character travels through Derry, Maine, and swears that he keeps seeing a clown staring at him from the sewers.
Yeah, probably just a clown in the sewer. Probably not Pennywise.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, I guess it could be like a guy. Like maybe it could be like, you know, a kid who wasn't in the Losers Club but saw a lot of that stuff and just went insane.
Yeah, or maybe a guy who like really wanted to be in on it.
Yeah,
is like really like the loser who is too loser for the Loser Club and didn't get to defeat Pennywise with them.
Yeah, or that the bully who kind of joins Pennywise.
Oh yeah, well he died.
Yeah, but maybe there's another one like him.
Maybe he had a son that was exactly like him except a clown.
Oh no.
But yeah, so Pennywise is probably still alive. Sorry.
Yeah, Pennywise or some baby of it.
Yeah,
and I honestly, given how weird of a creature I wouldn't be surprised if a baby of it is like still just it.
Let's see what else
we could talk about. the cool abilities here.
Yeah.
So one of the coolest abilities, I mean, the shape-shifting is awesome. Also, a cool thing with the shape-shifting that Cameron and I both really appreciated was that it's bound by the laws of the form it takes. So, like, it can transform into anything it wants, but if it transforms into a Dracula, it is going to burn up in the sun. Like, it...
Yeah, which it does transform into a Dracula, believe it or not, in the book, but with a little twist, it transforms into a Dracula with razor blades for teeth, which I always thought was very
cool. That's really cool. But the shape-shifting is awesome.
Definitely. And the being bound by the laws of it is very fun. That's a good...
There's another power it has that I like that's ambient, where it has like a mass psychological effect. Even when it's asleep, it has the ability to kind of just make people sort of forget anything that happened when it was feeding. And then when it's starting to awaken, it causes just like mass ambivalence. And when I was researching it, I saw everywhere that they were just saying that it causes people to sort of not care about stuff. But I also, just based on my consumption of the movies, I think it brings it like sort of brings out the nastiness in people a little bit too.
Yeah, it has a psychic influence that kind of, I mean, it's one of those things where I think it's also supposed to just like represent like small town, the darkness lurking in a small town, as the minds of people in a small town or whatever, you know, where they'll ignore a crime because they don't feel like stopping it, or because they had some grudge against the person who's
I think there was
being killed.
There literally was a case in it where like there was a rove of like a band of like criminals that like got apprehended by the entire town, and like the whole town crucified them, and then everyone just didn't talk about it anymore.
Yeah. So Pennywise is definitely one of those things where he's an embodiment of that type of deal. And then also going off of that power, a similar one is that is a lot of the like horrible stuff that he does and induces turns out to just be like hallucination, like very strong shared hallucinations. Like, for example, when he causes blood to like shoot out of the drain in one of the kids' houses, like it covers the bathroom, but only the Losers Club can see it. Like, no adults can see it. They don't care. They can't even. And that's like, I think that's also ties into it being like, you know, an incarnation of this theme of like, your parents don't care. Nobody in the town cares. They're all kind of like, they lock their doors at night. They don't want to hear about any.
That's all very thematic though. I think in the literal sense, Pennywise is influencing them to be like that.
Definitely, yeah. I think that's one of the most fun types of power is one that's like
an ambient psychological thing.
Yeah. It's like making its nest. You know? And the people are the twigs and branches that it's using to build the nest.
Cameron, I couldn't have said it better myself.
A beautiful metaphor. I wanted to bring up a few more things before we finished up here. I mean, I don't know how much more.
I don't have a ton more. I have one more thing that I want to bring up, but you go.
Go ahead.
Okay.
You go ahead.
I just wanted to say also that it has an arch nemesis canonically that is not super talked about, but it exists. It's called Gon. It's called Maturin.
Maturin, yeah, the turtle. It was cut out of both of the movies, which is bullshit.
Yeah, because it's a really important part in like Stephen King's universe in general.
Huge.
Like, I mean,
it's like central to the book too.
Yeah, totally. But Maturin is a giant turtle that came from presumably the same place, and it literally got a tummy ache and barfed out the known universe, and that's like that's the level that it's playing on. Like, you know, it barfed out the universe, and that's Pennywise's brother and natural enemy. And Pennywise, you know, is they're literally they're enemies, and they're also opposites, where Maturin is like wise when Pennywise is arrogant, and you know, they're just like literal opposites in every way. And but even though Pennywise is a very arrogant creature, it does say at one point that it, when it mentions Maturin, it says that it's the only thing that could even come close to its level of superiority, which also I think Maturin does trump Pennywise.
Yeah, well, yeah. It's through Maturin's help that the Losers Club is able to kill, quote-unquote, who knows,
but
Pennywise at
Maturin
the end.
Maturin has, like, a thing where it, like, doesn't get involved with anything. So it's, like, it's really powerful, but it doesn't do anything.
Yeah. I think I'm very pissed off that they did that bullshit thing where they, like, in It Chapter 2, they had, like, a nod to Maturin by having, like, a turtle show up at one point. But it's like, fuck you, dude. Put the turtle in. Like, what? At what point is society going to, like, accept, like, okay, a sewer clown is terrifying, but if there's a cosmic turtle that's, like, too much, that's too goofy for us? Like, fuck you. Put the turtle in.
And also,
it's awesome.
It's awesome, and also there's totally a way that they could have put the turtle in like, not even in a nod. Like, they could have put it in without just...
Yeah, it should have just been in the movie as, like... no reason to cut it
in
out.
In a dream or something. Like, you know, there's a way to do it where you don't just see, like, a giant CGI turtle with worlds on its back.
Yeah.
But even that...
Well, that's... I think, if I remember correctly, which I could be wrong because it has been a while, I think that's how they interact with the turtle, is they smoke something, they have some psychedelic experience, and they, like, see it or something.
Okay.
And it's like, yeah, just fucking do that. They had a giant clown spider. They had Pennywise shrink into, like, a
little fetus thing.
Silly putty blob baby.
That was so funny.
You can't have a fucking turtle, like a psychedelic universe turtle. It's so cool.
Well, and also it's just really important. I mean, it's that's the Batman to the Joker of Pennywise. But Maturin is a really interesting, honestly. You know, if you think monsters are cool and you're interested in just Stephen King lore, I would look up, like, Gone, which is J.N., and, like, Maturin, and, like, all the... Like, there's 12 Guardians, and, like, there's a whole...
Yeah.
He has, like, a whole Olympus in his head.
Yeah. I'm sure that on this podcast we'll be talking about Stephen King monsters plenty more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was the last... I just wanted to bring up Maturin because I think that...
If
you're bringing
too.
Up Pennywise, you need to bring up Maturin.
Yeah. So, yeah, what I wanted to just, this is just, these are just two, like, fun little tidbits before we finish up here, is that we mentioned, like, the portrayals of Pennywise. We were talking about the Tim Curry Pennywise, and then we were talking about the Bill Skarsgård Pennywise, but there are actually more actors that have portrayed this character.
Is that right?
Believe it or not.
Cameron, could you go ahead and tell us what else there is?
Yeah, so... There was also a portrayal of Pennywise by the Indian actor Lilliput, who was the eponymous antagonist in the Indian TV show Woe, which is Hindi for It, which was an Indian adaptation of Stephen King's It, which has 52 episodes. I really wanted to try and watch some of it before we recorded this, but I could not find it. It's on YouTube, but it's, like, it's region restricted, so I couldn't watch it. I was able to find the theme song, and this, I will tell you, this show came out in 1998, and the theme song looks like a Korn music video. It is very 90s. It has, like, a little clown doll and, like, barbed wire, like, flashing across the screen, and, like, a little, like, children's melody playing. It's a very fun theme song, so you should check that out. Yeah, exactly.
Cool.
And that's Woe, spelled W-O-H. So you should check that out. And if you can find that, hit me up, because I want to watch that really bad.
I also want to watch that.
And there's also another prestigious actor who has portrayed Pennywise, which I am very excited to bring this knowledge to you. Pennywise was actually portrayed by the beautifully hilarious James Corden on the Late Late Show with James Corden.
I invite
you right now to open up Google Images and type in James Corden Pennywise, because I think he might be the most alien and terrifying incarnation of this character yet.
Oh, no.
Like, they had to, they gave Bill Skarsgård these crazy head prosthetics and, like, fucked up face paint. They didn't need to do anything for James Corden to play him in a comedy sketch. He's already much scarier.
Oh my gosh. Wow, I didn't know that happened.
I didn't either. I just found out right before we recorded, and I thought I should
That's definitely worth bringing up. Oh my gosh, these pictures are awesome.
He, like, genuinely looks scary. Like,
he does.
There's this one picture where his eyes are kind of squinted, and it looks like there's no whites in his eyes.
I'm looking at that exact picture. Hold up. Is John Wayne Gacy kind of tubby, too?
I don't know.
Yeah, John Wayne Gacy, he was a little tubby also.
He was a big boy?
Yeah, also, I think John Wayne Gacy was, didn't he have some political office as well? Like, wasn't he, like, didn't he work for the government and was also a clown? That could be a different murder.
I have no idea. All I know about John Wayne Gacy is the Acid Bath album cover.
Sure. Well, also, final note outside of James Corden is I think that it's interesting to think about Pennywise's influence on perpetuating scary clown stereotypes and just how, like, we all naturally agree that clowns are scary at this point. And to me, it's just really interesting that that just hasn't been the case. One screwball who is a clown killed a bunch of people. And now we're all like, oh, that totally makes sense that that's horrifying.
Yeah.
Like,
it is. It's a pretty crazy cultural shift.
Yeah. And that was the first time that I think, like, when I was learning and thinking about that cultural shift, it was the first time I, like, really thought about mass perception shifts in culture on, like, a specific subject. Which is maybe a dumb sentence, but anyways, yeah.
So that brings us to the final part of our show, our podcast, which is called Monster Crazy, where we talk about monsters, and at the end of it, we rate the monster. Are we going out of 10? Let's go out of 10.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, that's a binding decision now. We can't change that. We didn't talk about what we were rating out of.
I think 10 is good.
Before this. I like 10. So yeah, how would you rate Pennywise the Dancing Clown?
I mean, I hate to come out of the park on our first episode rating really high, but I give Pennywise the Dancing Clown 9.5 red noses out of 10.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, I'm going to even one up you here. I'm going 10 out of 10 terrifying balloons that pop and then there's a clown behind them.
Wow. I think we can both agree that
I really love Pennywise.
He's a really
great
good
design.
Villain.
Is really
also,
great.
I do think that
read the book. It's a great book.
They knocked the design out of the park in the 2017 and 2019 Pennywise.
I really like it. Yeah.
Oh wait. What's the name? Carlos Quante.
Yes.
You have to look at.
That's our plug for this episode.
You guys have to look. Is it Fuentes or
it's
Quante?
Quante. So Carlos Quante, visual artist. That's Huante for the last name. Google Carlos Quante. Pennywise concept art. He did a bunch of concept art for the 2017 movie, and it is, like, insane.
It is some of the most fantastic horror art I have ever seen.
It's, like, beautiful. It's one of the reasons that we chose to do Pennywise for the first episode, I think, besides just Pennywise
is cool, but Carlos Fuentes' art was, I was like, Pennywise for sure.
Yeah.
Oh my god, I'm looking at it right now.
We could have seen a lot more of this in the movie.
Yeah, you know, I think Carlos Fuentes' stuff is really out there, which works great with the concept of him being this really other being, like not even an alien. Like, he's an alien to an alien. Like, he's from another dimension. And Carlos Fuentes' stuff really, I think, highlights that weirdness. Look that up. I think that's our plug.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, thank you for bearing with us for the first episode. This will get a lot easier as we go.
Yeah.
So bear with us. Sorry if there's, we'll smooth out the wrinkles in this whatever. That's Monster Crazy. You have a monster that you want us to talk about? Hit us up. If you have a crazy that you're feeling,
talk to a therapist.
Get that out of there.
Yeah,
don't bother us with that shit.
No,
fuck you.
I don't want to hear about that at all.
I'm not culpable for anything you do.
Mm-mm. Well, yeah. All right. Goodbye.
Peace out.
All right. Do we hit stop?
Yeah.